Wisconsin's Supreme Court will hear two lawsuits that aim to enshrine legal protections for abortion in the state. It's Wednesday, July 3rd. This is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Mallory Chang. Coming up, Wisconsin will get new federal funding for the development of biotechnologies. Then there's some progress in the fight to keep invasive carp out of the Great Lakes. And from Wisconsin Life, a personal story about what happens when your son becomes a baseball fanatic. Stay with us. We'll be back after this break.
You tune into Wisconsin Public Radio for news you can trust, conversations that draw you in, and music and entertainment that make your day better. The largest source of funding for everything you value on WPR is listener support. Join the team that makes WPR possible. Become a sustaining member. Make an ongoing monthly gift and share WPR with your entire community. It's easy to sign up at WPR.org.
Two high-profile abortion lawsuits will be heard by the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Rich Kramer reports on the announcement by the court's liberal majority yesterday.
The most consequential lawsuit was filed earlier this year by Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin, which claims abortions are constitutionally protected here. The group's chief strategy officer, Michelle Velasquez, says she's grateful the court is taking it up.
So it will hopefully, if we are successful, make it clear to everyone in the state that their right to bodily autonomy, their individual rights to decide whether and when to have children, is protected in the state.
The other case accepted by the court is challenging a pre-Civil War law once thought to have banned the procedure. A statement from anti-abortion group Wisconsin Right to Life called the lawsuits a, quote, weaponization of the court system to enshrine abortion access on demand. Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Illinois has signed a key agreement with state and federal officials on a $1 billion project to keep invasive carp out of the Great Lakes. The agreement unlocks $274 million in federal funding for construction of the project at the Brandon Road Lock and Dam in Joliet, Illinois. The Army Corps of Engineers will install noisemakers, a bubble curtain, and other defenses there to keep the fish from getting closer to Lake Michigan. Executive Director Cody Kamrowski with the Wisconsin Wildlife Federation says the deal is a huge step.
This is something we've all been working on a very long time because we're passionate and we understand the importance of the Great Lakes and the Great Lakes fishery.
The carp threaten the multi-billion dollar fishing and recreational boating industries on the lakes. That's because they eat food native fish rely on, disrupting the food web. The deal includes $114 million from Illinois and Michigan, and construction is set to begin next year. A biotech hub designated in Wisconsin last year will receive $49 million from the federal government. As Joe Schultz reports, Senator Tammy Baldwin announced the funding yesterday.
The money will support the state's tech hub focused on personalized medicine. That's a healthcare approach pinpointing diagnostics and treatment using a patient's genetic sequence, medical record, and environment. Baldwin says collaboration was key to securing the designation and funding.
This investment will move the needle for how we approach and give healthcare, helping people lead healthier lives.
Wisconsin's Tech Hub will also receive $7.5 million in state funding and $24 million in industry commitments. Officials estimate the initiative will create 30,000 jobs in personalized medicine and $9 billion of economic development. Joe Schultz, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Democratic President Joe Biden is returning to Madison this week as he campaigns for re-election in swing state Wisconsin. Friday's appearance follows criticism of Biden's performance last week in a debate against former Republican President Donald Trump. The White House announced the visit in a press briefing yesterday, but has yet to confirm an exact location. Friday's rally will be Biden's second Madison campaign stop in 2024. In April, the president announced a student debt forgiveness plan during a speech at Madison Area Technical College. Madison and surrounding Dane County are considered crucial for Democrats. Analysts point out the area's growing population and its high concentration of liberal voters. Coming up from Wisconsin Life, a story about baseball between a 9-year-old and his mother. That's right after this break.
Thank you to the donors who make Wisconsin Public Radio possible. There are more than 50,000 of you. Your generosity delivers essential news, thought-provoking conversations, and inspiring music to listeners all over Wisconsin and beyond. Your support makes a difference in people's lives every day. Thank you.
It's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Tyler Ditter with a story about sports and parenting.
America's favorite pastime might not be the preferred recreational activity for everyone, like writer Jill Sisson-Quinn. But then, her son fell in love with baseball. Because of his unwavering adulation, the joy of the sport might just have spread to his once indifferent parents.
The summer he turns 9, my son falls in love with baseball. We sign up our son for Amherst Coach Pitch. I trudge to the store for the necessary equipment, shocked by the prices, ultimately settling for the cheapest bat, a $40 wooden one, the only wooden bat in the store. At the first practice, when he smacks a line drive into the outfield, I hear the dad at second exclaim, "He hit that with a wooden bat?" At home, I read that aluminum bats took over youth and amateur leagues in the late 90s. They're lighter, last longer, and hit farther. Who knew? Not the nature-loving bookworm that is me, of course. My son enjoys the youth league, but the 2 games per week are not enough. So we set up a diamond in the backyard, using the plastic lids from our 5-gallon maple sugaring buckets as bases. My son spends an afternoon burying a cut section of 2x4 into the ground for a pitching rubber. All day long, he begs me to play baseball. We set up some rules for our 2-person games. 1-out innings, no strikes unless you actually swing and miss, no getting out imaginary runners. We keep track of our scores on the outside wall of the barn. With no rain to wash them away, the chalked T-charts filled with hash marks completely cover the center section by mid-July. When my husband comes home from work each day, he relieves me, exhausted and sore from using muscles I haven't used in a long time, or maybe never used. I watch them finish our game through the kitchen window. In June, on vacation, in a touristy souvenir shop, my son finds a trunk of baseball cards, 10 cents apiece. All $7 of the souvenir money he has left is spent there, so that his primary memory of our hiking trip in Acadia National Park is a Jim Gantner baseball card. In July, we go camping. My son packs all of his baseball gear, 3 bats, batting helmet, 7 balls, and there we are, playing ball next to our camper in the ferny woods of Chequamegon-Nicolet National Forest. One Saturday, he watches Rookie of the Year and The Sandlot. Afterwards, he walks through the kitchen and out toward the ball field in a homemade catcher's outfit, complete with soccer shin guards, a plastic chest plate from a Nerf sword battle kit, a plastic Viking helmet, sans horns, and the chin mask from my husband's Hannibal Lecter Halloween costume. It sounds odd, but it looks pretty darn good. I might have preferred a summer spent hiking rather than listening to John Fogerty's Center Field on repeat. But when my son makes us uniforms using white T-shirts and fabric pens, I soften a bit. He calls his team the Red-Winged Blackbirds, and mine, the Earths. Some off-sited research has found that it takes around 10 years or 10,000 hours of practice to reach the top in competitive fields. As the summer progresses, we all improve, catching each other's pop flies, hitting balls almost into the cornfield. But something more also grows. Soon, the punch of that ball in the pocket of my glove is as satisfying as the monarchs I see circling the milkweed near second base. The ping of the aluminum bat as enjoyable as the song of the house wren nesting in the box on the side of the barn. Because even for us non-sports people, baseball, and a boy's love of it, can get completely under our skin.
Jill Sisson-Quinn is a writer who lives in Scandinavia, Wisconsin. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. I'm Tyler Ditter.
I really resonated with the mom in that story. I'm not much of a sports gal, but I can participate. I can get behind the love of the game. Thanks for joining us on this Wednesday for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Mallory Chang. Our producer today was Rob Menser. He helped put the podcast together. Catch us every weekday morning wherever you get your podcasts. We'll be back again tomorrow. Have a great day. We'll talk to you again soon. Take care.